All right, so YouTube, podcast world, welcome back to another ESG edition. Today we got a special guest here. I'm going to let our guest introduce himself, his industry that he's in, and also if you could just give us something that you're grateful for.
All right, awesome. Well, my name's Trayvon Bond. I'm actually a firefighter by day, but I work in the e-commerce space on my days off, and it's so dope with the schedule that I have. And honestly, what I'm grateful for is to be able-bodied, like to be able to get up and to go on my own free will, because I know people who have had tougher situations and life has limited them. So it's so dope that I don't have to put a lid on my cup. You know, I can just take the lid off and I can jump and pour out as much as I want to.
That's dope, man. Well, let's get right into your story. If you could, well, I guess I'll start off by phrasing it as a question. At what point or at what age did you know, like, I want to be a firefighter? Or was that like always like a childhood dream, or was it just serendipitous? Like, talk us through that story.
Not at all, man. So, like, the presence of firefighting wasn't really prevalent, like, for me growing up, like, in my neighborhood. I think we have a volunteer fire service where I'm from, small town, Haverty Grace, just north of Baltimore. So that wasn't it. I wanted to go to the league, you know, like most young kids, you know, played basketball and football, probably was a little better at football, but wanted to pursue the basketball dream. Thought that I could play, you know, at, you know, the collegiate level at least. Made an attempt there, didn't work out for me. So got very active in college. I was so used to playing sports all year round, but in college I didn't make the team. So did student government association, became the marketing director. I joined my fraternity, you know, kind of filled those gaps where I was always playing sports with extracurricular activities. And it felt good to be able to uplift the community and be involved in different events as such. And then coming out of college, I actually started a podcast. My major was broadcast journalism, so it went along with the hosting and the marketing directing stuff that I was doing in college. But by the age of 25, like you said, when did it come to my mind? Like, I had that quarter life crisis where it's like, what I'm doing right now is not working. So ended up working a job and doing a podcast, actually working two jobs and a podcast on the side that was more of a hobby, because we were renting out studio space. It was fun. We were doing interviews. We were traveling a bit, but it wasn't bringing in a source of income. And after 3 years, it's like, you know, there got to be some type of ROI. There was none. It was just a fun hobby to have. So I'm like, yo, something's got to change. And at 25, I didn't want to be hosting events and in the college scene anymore. And thankfully, one of my college friends actually introduced me to a guy who actually ended up becoming my mentor. Challenged some thought process, and I remember a distinct conversation. One of the first things he asked me was, when's the last time you read a book? I wasn't having those type of conversations with my friends. Now, this guy obviously is 10 to 15 years older than me, so it's a different level of a conversation. And then when I got to meet his wife, she asked me, hey, have you ever made a vision board? She knew I was in a transition trying to figure some things out. I'm like, no, women do that. I'm not making a vision board. But after that conversation, I took some time, I put pen to paper, I put some visuals together, and I made a vision board. And that's where the idea of becoming a firefighter, you know, becoming financially free, and, you know, just a lot of like fitness journeys. That's where a lot of those ideas came up for me. And then I just, now that I writ the vision out and I made it as plain as possible, it gave me a target to chase. It gave me something to go after versus just keeping everything bottled up in my mind and never putting pen to paper or making it or creating clarity, if you will. So after my quarter life crisis is when the idea of becoming a firefighter came into mind. And now I get to be basically an everyday hero. I get to be up. I get to be active, moving around. And it's dope, man. I absolutely love it.
That's awesome, man. I'm gonna, like, you talking about that, like writing it down on the vision board and stuff, that's Hornets camps. Matt Carroll used to speak every summer, almost every week. And one of the things he always told kids is a dream written down is a goal. If it's not written down, all it is a dream. You can't accomplish it without, like you said, that target. Once you put it to paper, you have direction, out a path, something you can actually see, not just think about.
Right. Definitely was a game for me.
I wanted to double back at that point in your life where you were working, doing a podcast and trying to make that grow. And this is just an open dialogue just about entrepreneurship. And because a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we start something because we have a passion for it and we enjoy it, and it stays a hobby and it doesn't transform into like a consistent income for me. Mm-hmm. So for you personally, at what point in time, or what was it that made you cut the cord on that? Because that's often hard for entrepreneurs to do, especially if something's your baby, you're investing a lot of time into it and effort and energy, and you enjoy it. So what would you say were some key markers that let you know you needed to cut that out of the equation?
So it wasn't my baby. It wasn't my project. So as I was graduating from college, one of my friends, he knew me very well. He graduated the year before me. And him and his friend were actually starting the podcast. So they're like, Trey, you know, you're graduating, you have a broadcast degree, you host all the events at your college, like you're like the campus host and all, you were the marketing director. So basically my resume to my friends was like, this is something that you'd be good at. So basically it was their project that they created, and they kind of asked me to come on board with them as they already kind of got the ball rolling. So they brought me on right before they actually launched, like to start airing episodes. And then after I came on, it was just the three of us. And then we added a young lady into the mix too, so we can have, you know, a diverse set of conversations. So it wasn't just from fresh out of college, black male perspective. We had a young lady in there too. And it wasn't just about sports, you know, it was about Greek life, HBCU culture, you know, and different things of that sort. But because it wasn't my baby, it was their project, I was a part of it and I enjoyed the experience. But like I said, it wasn't mine to cultivate or to, you know, to expand to another level. And it wasn't really my idea. It was something that I enjoyed for the time. But like I said, by the time I was 25, a few years out of college, it wasn't something that I wanted to do long term. You know, like I didn't want to talk about, you know, the surface level of, like, you know, just sports and what's going on. Like I wanted to be able to dive a little bit deeper and, you know, actually make somewhat of a difference in the conversations in the communities that I was, you know, going to be involved in. So it was a good entry level to, you know, creating something or building something or having conversations, uplifting conversations with different groups of people. So I definitely cherish the experience, but it wasn't my baby to cultivate. And thankfully, you know, it was just a season, and then something better came along after. So
let's transition right into that. What was that something better outside of the firefighting? I'm assuming it's what you're doing now with the business and network marketing. So if you could dive into how that started.
Yeah. So it was, like I said, even with the podcast, it wasn't my idea. And if you talk to me probably, you know, at the age of 25 and told me that I'd be an entrepreneur, I probably would laugh at you as well. But going back to that couple that I got introduced to, after starting to build some rapport and having higher level conversations, not just that, it was when I started to see the fruit on their tree. So I never knew anybody with a long standing healthy marriage. I didn't know people with, you know, a healthy family, you know, wife, husband, you know, extra career. I didn't have access to that because my family wasn't like that. And even the friends that I had growing up, I didn't know anybody that had been married double digit years with families and still thriving and looking forward to the future, not reminiscing on what the past was. So when I saw the fruit on the tree and understood that at the age of 30, what I just turned, that they were able to replace one of their incomes, you know, through their business, still working full-time jobs, but replacing one of their incomes with the business. And I'm like, that's what I don't have access to. That's the mentorship. That's the guidance that I've lacked in my life. And I know AP, I know you can attest to it because I know you've been working basketball camps for as long as I know you. Deshaun, I don't know what your upbringing was, but I assume maybe you probably played some sports growing up. So it's so funny to me that as we grow up playing sports, we always have teammates and we always have coaches. So our coaches are there, you know, to kind of, when you stray off, hey, man, let's get back in line. Our teammates are there to, you know, inspire us, motivate us. Like, I call it the power of the other person. When you're feeling weak or tired, you know, you see that your teammates are out there grinding. So, hey, I need to get my stuff together. I need to go too. So with that mindset, that's what we grow up with. And then we get out into the adult world and it's like, hey, go figure it out. You're working,
yeah, where's your team?
Starting a business, you know, and it's like, it's try failing the dress. I tell y'all, when I say taxes was beating me up, like, I'm young, I'm single, and I'm not making no money. Like, how, like, but after getting access to a mentorship and owning the business, you get educated on taxes, and you know, and you understand having a business, the breaks and stuff that you have, but you don't know until you don't know. And you just got to be humble enough, especially as a man, to realize that all that I do know is not all that there is to know. Find somebody that has something going for themselves. And that's the thing. You find somebody that has something going for themselves, but then they're also willing to get on ground level with you and start to build you up to it. So that's the type of environment that a team and a coach, you know, kind of has growing up. But it's kind of lost, I think, in the adult world. And I think a lot of people are longing for those type of environments, but it's like, well, where do you find them? Because a lot of the environments are just competitive. And your competition don't want to teach you what they're doing, because now you're stepping on their toes. Now you're taking, you know, what they had. So it was dope to be in an industry where it's like we're all lifting as we climb. You know, we're learning, we're sharing, and we're expanding together. Not like, oh, I need everything for me. No, it's a team environment, a growth environment. So
one thing I definitely want to point out.
Go ahead.
I wanted to point something out that you said, and that was, oh my goodness, it was so fire. He said it wasn't until you saw the fruit of your mentor that you began to follow that direction. And if I'm sorry with y'all, I kind of want to stay there, because oftentimes we have these coaches, like that was a beautiful illustration as well with the coaches and teammates, but we have these coaches and they become our coaches or our mentors just because they're the first person to, you know, give us the information, or it's because, you know, we don't know any better. We just kind of gravitate towards them. But and this is just an open conversation, open question. What would y'all say are some things that are going to lend you, outside of looking at the fruit of what they're producing? What are some things that young entrepreneurs or beginning entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs in general, need to be looking for in terms of finding the right mentor that can help them instill that growth mindset?
I think that is, you got to figure out whose actions lines up with their words. Because let's be honest. In today's society, with social media and all of these business coaches and things like that that are online, not to take anything away from them, somebody that, let's just say, maybe fresh out of college or younger person still in their 20s, it's kind of hard to have the credibility there. Because it's like, if you've been doing something for 2 years, it's hard to be an expert, you know, because 10,000 hours, right? So when you know that there's that time in, and it's not just like, oh, it's ignorance is bliss, or they're young and on fire. It's like, no, like they've been through some storms, like they've had life happen, but still persevered through it, you know. And that is something, like, you know, wisdom, like you can be smart as ever, but you still need life experience to battle through some things. Like, one of the key things with my fraternity is perseverance. It's one of our four cardinal principles. So it's like, until you've been battle tested, then it's like, I don't know, it's easy to be happy and to be on fire when you up by 20. It's easy to do that. All my teammates gonna rock with me then. But when you're down by 5 and it's only 1 minute left and it looks like they're gonna lose the game, are you still gonna grind? Are you still gonna, you know, empty the tank? You know, and I think through time and life experience, that's what you get. You know, so being like I told you, they're in their 40s now, the couple. And so understand what they did, the decisions that they made in their 20s, the options that they started to create by the time they turned 30. Like I said, with the wife being able to retire because her full time income had been replaced by then. You know, obviously it's scaled even bigger than that today. But just at the age of 30, having that option where most of us are waiting until 65. Like, all right, now I can stay home and now I can do what I wanted to do. But I'm old. I'm 65. Like, my legs, you know, I'm not stretching out the same way I used to be. You feel me? I don't know if I'm going to have as good of a time on the beach. My shirt going to have to stay on, you know, like I want to be out there now with like with shirt off season, you know, you're still healthy, you're still young and, you know, can move around, no kids. So it's like you don't have those restrictions or being burnt out because of old age. It's like, no, I'm still young and active and I have these options versus like, well, let me make sure my retirement is good. Let me get us 40 years. Like, nah, I got an option in 2 to 5. I'm going to take that every day. Even if it takes 10, it's better than 40. You get me? That's where I'm at with it.
So let's get into more of the business side of it and what you do, kind of the questions that we sent you. What has network marketing taught you about entrepreneurship? It seems like a lot of the foundation was laid, talked about your fraternity experience and those things. We'll definitely reference back to that. I think that that's dope and very key. I mean, not from the outside looking into your journey, but what has network marketing just taught you in general just about entrepreneurship?
What that taught me is you got to be willing to be bad at something long enough to get good. And I, like I said, all I have is my story. So I can't speak for the next man or woman. But I know that growing up, like I said, kind of going back to sports, it's like I played basketball and football because I started at a young age, and I was pretty good at it. And obviously, like back to those 10,000 hours, when you consistently and persistently do something, naturally, you're going to get better. And as a young kid, it's easier to be more of a standout, you know, but then when you're an adult and you're playing against other people who are elite, then, you know, that's when you really are battle tested and, you know, you see how good you really are. But I say that to say I was good at the things that I was doing growing up because it's easy to be a big fish in a little pond. Let's just say that. Come from a small town. It was kind of easy to be pretty popular. It was kind of easy to be, you know, a captain on a team. You know, but in the real world, it's vast, it's open. So now I'm being exposed to something that I have no experience in. You know, it's harder to learn things as an adult than when you're younger and your brain is still developing. It's easy to, you know, to learn new skills. So for me, as an adult starting something, it was hard for me to, you know, to just jump out the gate and just be on fire, be the best guy in the room. But ultimately, it was a good challenge because that's the transition to be a small fish in a big pond. So for me, I just had to be willing to be bad at something long enough to get good. And it goes back to that perseverance muscle. It's like, it's easy to, once you get to that first hill or that first hurdle and you can't jump over it or you can't climb up it, it's like, well, that ain't going my way. It's not how I planned it. So I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna stop. But if you quit today, then you may quit on your family. You feel me? Like I learned from Inky Johnson, like how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you said that this was important to you, if you said that this is what you really was about, and then a hurdle comes up to battle test you and you just drop down and quit, then, you know, what else are you going to quit at? What's next? So for me, with network marketing and e-commerce, it's uncomfortable for me, but you got to get uncomfortable for growth. So I had to be willing to be bad at something long enough to get good. And even today, I'm still in a younger stage of the business, but I have the blueprint. I have the foundation. So now that I've kind of went through my first few, you know, bumps and hurdles, life has happened, you know, and, you know, business, you know, ebbs and flows. So it's like, now that I've been through some things, it's like, nah, I got the foundation. I know the process. I know what it takes, but now I just have to be consistent and persistent in it. And, you know, that's where the fruit will then be produced on my tree, you know? So, yeah.
Beautiful. Piggybacking off of that, do you believe, I mean, you're currently doing it, but there's a large percentage of people who think that they have to quit their day job or their regular 9-to-5 to become an entrepreneur. Do you believe that a person who's working a 9-to-5 can become an entrepreneur at the same time? And if so, why or how can that person achieve that?
Absolutely, yes. And what I think it is a mindset, because that's what I thought. Kind of like I said, entrepreneurship wasn't on my forefront growing up or even into my 20s until this door was open for me. So my mind's like, if you're an entrepreneur, then that's the goal, right? You want to be an entrepreneur, and that brings in, you know, full-time income and then some. So you pitch everything into one basket and you sell out to that, and hopefully, you know, something comes of it, you know, like it's usually a big capital investment. So you're probably spending tens of thousands of dollars or something to start a business. And then it's like, well, you put all this money into it, so it better work. But in reality, 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 2 to 5 years. So it's kind of hard to, you know, to make that happen. But I have people in front of me that showed me, you know, so yes, you work a job. Like I told you, like with my mentors, they were still working their jobs as they were building their business until they replaced one of their incomes, which allowed her to stay home and start their family and have kids and be a full-time stay-at-home mom and entrepreneur versus, you know, staying in her job. So yes, it makes perfect sense to keep your 9 to 5, let that fund the dream. So you're making your income that you start off with, you're paying your bills, and you're funding your dream with it until you're bad at it long enough to get good. Then you gain the skill set, and then you're able to scale it, and you're able to duplicate your time and your efforts over hopefully a couple years, maybe. And then at that point, you have the option to, hey, I actually love what I do, and I want to stay here and continue to build my business. Or now my business has replaced my full-time income, so now I have the option to step away. Nothing against people. Like, if you want to risk it all at one turn of pitch and toss, start your business, make that capital investment, and quit your job and just go all in, that's the thing, too. It really is. But I don't have any experience there, so I won't speak on it. But the idea for me is have your business, pay your bills, fund your dream, get good at it, expand it, duplicate yourself, and replace your income. And then you got the option. So now it's no desperation there. It's mm-hmm. a plan. It's structured, you know? So it's not like, oh, this got to work and now my hair's turning gray because it's not working right now. It's like, no, go with the process. And mm-hmm. especially in my generation, like we live in a microwave society. So it's like, I want to put this in a microwave today and get the results tomorrow. But it don't work like that. Literally going back to 10,000 hours, like we see people that we think are overnight successes, but we weren't there when they were cultivating those 10,000 hours. We've seen them just burst on the scene, but we don't know when they really started. We don't know what page one looks like. We see people on the screen that, you know, are finished their book, but we don't know what it looked like when they started writing it, you know? So that's what I would say.
That was actually, I don't know if you saw it, Deshaun. That was the last quote we posted on the entrepreneur support group. If you really look closely, most overnight successes took a long time.
Yeah. That's crazy.
We just see the reward of it. We don't, like you said, we don't see all the work that goes into making that overnight success happen.
That's true.
And a big part of it.
I want to add this too, because I remember being young. And being a man or a young boy at the time, but it's like I was like the golden child because I'm the baby of five. I have older siblings and things like that, and it was kind of so I'm like I'm the one that has to figure it out. Like I'm the first guy in my family to graduate from college, so like I have to figure this thing out. And as a young boy becoming a man, it's like, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to become successful? And it's like there's just the pressure of becoming a man and not having a game plan in play. It's like, well, I know fresh out of college, working the security job that I was working and working retail at a gun shop, you know, checking people in and out of a gun range. This isn't, you know, what I'm called to do. So how do I become successful? Because I knew it wasn't there in either of those arenas. So it's like, but bro, you're 25. What are you going to do? Because you're not doing it now. So when are you going to figure it out? And then when are you going to start pursuing this thing? Because like, we on the time frame, bro. Like, in my mind, that's what I'm thinking. So it was kind of cool to be in that ignorant space and then have a door be open for me. And just to, you know, just to take that step in the door. Not fully confident. Like I said, being introduced to something that you don't know, it's like, I don't know if this is going to work out how I thought it would. But like I said, I started to learn things like being bad at something long enough to get good. And now that I know that I'm walking in an actual purpose, you know, then it's like, yeah, it still sucks some days, but I know why I'm doing it. It's not about what you do. It's about why. I'm literally reading a book right now. It's called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And people don't follow you because of what you do. People follow you because of
why you do it.
Excuse me, of why you do it. So when people understand your why and they understand your passion, they understand what you're trying to do, then that is what, that's why MLK was so major. You know, like he was the voice. He expressed the why. So the who, the what, and the how, all that was a byproduct of why it was important for the civil rights movement, you know? So
it's a great book.
Yes. I'm almost done it. So
and I wanna kind of piggyback off of that by asking another question, because we understand that, well, we've spoken about 10,000 hours, you know, be able to stick with something long enough, you know, be able to stick with something long enough because you're going to be bad at it. Can't be microwavable success. We got to find a mentor. We got to have the vision, make it plain. But let's talk about the real life side of it, as in how does entrepreneurship affect your personal relationship? It doesn't have to be romantic, but friends, family, because I'm sure during that process where you're bad at something, you got people in your ear, you might have a certain group cheering you on, you might have a certain group, it might only be one or two, but you got some voices in your head telling you like, yo, you're crazy, you're doing this, blah, blah, blah. So how does entrepreneurship affect your personal relationships? And how does one person, or maybe even yourself, since you only know yourself, right? Like, you know yourself better than anybody. How do you go about maneuvering through those personal relationships as it goes with entrepreneurship?
Daily habits and having tough skin. I'll give you an example of it. So just like we were talking about, like reading and things like that, like it's something that I said, when I initially had this conversation, I wasn't reading out of college, because when I was reading to get the grade. I was reading to, you know, to pass the test, you know, like those were the only reason why I was reading. I wasn't reading for myself. So when I got posed the question, like, when's the last time you read, or do you read? And the answer was no. And then I started to read, and now I'm on pace. I read just about a book a month, depending on the size of it. Like, basically, if it's about a 200-page book, I'll knock that out, you know, in 4 weeks. But now that's a habit of mine. So I know that every day I'm going to find some time to find some peace or quiet, and I'm going to open up a book and read. I'll give you an example. Even like this weekend, it was a major cookout going on, but I had a busy morning. So by the time I went to the cookout, I hadn't read yet, but I said, hey, by the time I get to this cookout and by the time I get home, it's going to be nighttime, I'm going to be tired and I want to go to bed. I brought my book out there, kind of went to the back corner. I was reading. And mind you, I'm in a cookout, so I'm with my friends. They see me and stuff, and they all had jokes. Because, like, bro, you had a cookout. I know you're not reading. Like, you're just out here for attention or whatever. And in my mind, like, I'm actually reading, you know. So, but I understand that they haven't seen the vision that I saw. So, and it, thankfully, it still sparked some good conversations. Like, yo, why are you out here with a book? But then I had some good conversations with it, but it started off with a lot of jokes. So that's where the tough skin comes in. And to be honest, like, my family hasn't been my biggest supporters. Growing up, they were at all my games. They were my biggest supporters, you know, kind of growing up in sports. But like I said, we don't have experience in the entrepreneurship realm. So when I'm like, hey, guys, like, I have these healthy alternatives for not just for myself, but for the family. And, you know, I have this vision that, you know, I'm going to replace my income in my 30s. So I'll have options. And there's things that I want to do for my mom, my dad, my aunt, you know, the people who, you know, really catered to me growing up. And right now, they're not against it, but it's like, they're not my biggest supporters. They're not like active customers on a monthly basis of mine. But, you know, I understand that it's where the fruit on the tree comes. So as the fruit starts to come on my tree and the people around me see it start to cultivate and see it come to life, then it's like, y'all wasn't with me shooting in the gym, but now you see it. And it's not about getting back. It's not about spiting anybody else. So I want to have these options and the fruit on the tree so that I can give to my family and my friends. So even though they don't see it right now, it's like, you know, in a little while they will. And when they do, it's like, yo, this is, I'm here to bless them and others. So I don't care about getting back. It's just about saying, making this thing come to fruition, what I'm working on right now. And I know that it will in due time. So.
Yeah. And unfortunately, humans in general have a tough time with things they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so we all see that in our friend and our family groups. Like if they don't understand what you're doing, then they don't know how to get on board. Because how do you support something you don't understand? So it is definitely, unfortunately, part of the process and finding that team that does understand what you're doing to be that support system until the other people figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. We're coming up on time. So I got one last question for you. This is one of my favorite questions. If you ran into 15-year-old Trayvon, you can give him one word of wisdom, right? What would that be? One nugget of thought.
I would tell him, get uncomfortable, bro. And I would say that because being the baby of five, I think growing up, even though we didn't have a whole bunch, but like, I feel like I was probably catered to the most just because I was the youngest and I was a pretty good student and I was a pretty good athlete compared to my other siblings. So it's like, I was kind of, like I said, unofficially like the golden child. One of my sisters, she's doing a phenomenal job in the military and the Air Force. She has her name on the logistics building out in Arizona. She's the commander of a squadron out, the communication squadron out there. So she's come to, you know, to do some great things too. But like I said, with me being a baby of five, it was like, we got to make sure he's good. So with that, I would say get uncomfortable because in my adulthood, obviously building a business is uncomfortable. Going into an arena that I have no knowledge, no experience in, you know, and trusting, you know, other people to kind of help walk me through it, you know, for me to ultimately empower me to be able to take full ownership and, you know, go through the whole thing, you know. But it's cool because I'm not in business by myself. I'm in business for myself and not by myself, like I said, because I have a team, like I said, mentors and other people that are building alongside me. But I would tell 15-year-old Trayvon to get uncomfortable. And I kind of learned that through pledging my fraternity. Like I said, I was like, hey, this is something that I'm interested in, but I didn't know what I was signing up for. I didn't know how hard and how difficult, how long it was going to be. But I'm glad that I was ignorant enough to say that I wanted to do something to get into the trenches and realize, yo, I'm not going home. I'm not leaving. You know, but if you would have told me everything I would have had to do before I signed up, I was like, I'm cool. That's crazy. Why would I do that? That don't make sense. But the man that it helped me become, I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And same thing with the business. Like I wouldn't change this process for anything in the world. And then also my fitness journey. Like I said, coming into college, I still did some intramural stuff. I played some summer league basketball and stuff from time to time. But like now, like I've run my first marathon last year and I've done like different run challenges. And it's like, it's the battle between you and you. So that's why I would say get uncomfortable, because as you get uncomfortable, that's what it's really about. It's about battling you against you. Like, I'm my own enemy. I'm my own supporter. I'm my own everything almost. Not to be selfish or self-centered, but like everything that you need is already within you. You just got to find within yourself and in the environment that you're around to help cultivate and pull it out of you. That's why I think that the average person working a 9-to-5 can also be an entrepreneur. Because they may be walking around as the average person working a 9-to-5, but there's something inside of them that, if exposed to the right environment, can be pulled out. And that's where they would thrive. But that takes some uncomfortable conversations. It takes some doing some things differently. It takes some sacrificing the family time. It takes a lot of the things, a lot of small little things that people may not be willing to do. But if you do it for a season, becomes a habit, and then you become better and you're feeding what needs to be fed rather than appeasing those around you. Get uncomfortable, Trey.
Last thing I'm going to ask you, somebody wanted to get in touch with you, man. Let's say they wanted to learn about the business that you're in. They want to connect with you, follow you on your journey to see the fruits of your labor as they're coming up. How would they connect with you, man?
I'm on social media at T Street at 32. That's just Instagram. I don't do Twitter or Facebook. Like, I just prefer one platform so it doesn't get too confusing. But yeah, T Street at 32. And then my email is trayvon.bond@yahoo.com. So either of those ways, I'm there. I post on social media a lot. Just, you know, just small motivational clips and things like that. Because like I said, I'm on a journey. And I know as I'm on a journey, I know other people if they're not on a journey, they're looking to start a journey. So, you know, if I can just spark, you know, just one person to do something a little bit different or pick up a book or launch that business idea that they've been thinking about, then, you know, I'm here for a reason. So tstreeter32 or email me. So, yeah. And the beautiful thing about all this is, like, this is just, it's a decision. It's not like, oh, come and do this, or you need to be an entrepreneur, because it's not for everybody. Like, I literally have this shirt on that says, hey, if I got to convince you to never mind, like, it's something in people that has a desire, that has a drive, that has, you know, this grit about them that they're looking for something more than what they're doing. And it may not be everybody. Some people may just be safe and secure with the security that their job gives them. And that's absolutely fine. We need employees too. But, you know, some people, they got that grit and they're looking for something more. Like I said, I don't want to convince you. If I got to convince you, then never mind. But if you're looking for something, there are opportunities, there are windows, there are groups, there are environments out there that are growth oriented, and it's going to make you uncomfortable, but it's ultimately going to be better for you and going to bring out the best in you. So, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Trayvon Bond, man, I appreciate you hopping on the pod, AP. Appreciate you as well, and we'll catch y'all next time, man.
Yeah, thank you, AP. Deshaun, it was great to meet you. You know, great conversation, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. All right.
All right.